those of you who have been with us this past week on Wednesday evening, maybe last Lord's Day too, will know that we usually have two men from Northern Ireland, the Ulster Presbytery, to join with us for our May week of prayer here in the United States. This year, if you're no exception, Reverend Brian McClung, he's the minister of our Newton Abbey congregation, 7 or 8 miles from Belfast, is one of those delegates, and Reverend John Woods from our John Knox Memorial Church in Belfast was the other delegate from the Ulster Presbytery. Reverend McClung has gone to Columbia down to preach for the Reverend Wagner this morning. Reverend Wagner is out of town, and the Reverend McClung has gone there to bring the Lord's Word. We're very glad to have the Reverend Woods with us here. Glad these men were able to stay over for this weekend. It's been great to have fellowship with both of them this past week, to renew fellowship with them, and to have our brother, the Reverend Woods, bring the Lord's Word here this morning and again tonight. As I mentioned, he ministers in the John Knox Memorial Church in Belfast. It's on the Shankill Road. That doesn't probably mean much to an American congregation, but it's a very famous road, or infamous road, in Belfast, in Northern Ireland. It was an area that was badly affected by the Troubles, those times of years of terrorism and difficulty in Northern Ireland. But there's a congregation there. Not a large congregation, but a congregation that's faithful to the Lord, and we are very thankful for our brother's ministry in that place. So he's going to come and bring the Lord's Word this morning. He'll be back again tonight to bring the Lord's Word in the evening service. Let me encourage you to come. I know Sunday evening services sometimes can grow a little smaller, but let me encourage you to come tonight and hear the Lord's servant bring the Lord's Word then too. We welcome him to Greenville. This is his first time outside the British mainland. He's come a long way for that first trip out, but we're glad he's here, and we do pray the Lord's blessing upon him at this time.
Thank you, Reverend Mercer, for the words of welcome. It has been a blessing for us to have been here during this week. We always look forward in January time at our own Minister's Week of Prayer to having two of the brethren from here come over. And now it has been our turn to come over with you at this time. And it has been a blessing not only to have had the opportunity to be at the Week of Prayer and to preach God's Word, but to sit under the ministry of some of the other brethren. And I do want to also say a word of thanks to the ladies of the congregation here, and no doubt some of the men as well that were involved in helping feed us during the week, and to the Reverend Mrs. Mercer also. And it was good to, of course, renew fellowship with some of the other brethren whom the Lord has called from our land to come and minister here, and also to renew fellowship with some of the brethren from here, and of course some then that we had not met in the flesh, just watched on sermon audio, as often we tune in to Greenville in the afternoon with the 5-hour time difference. We can go to our own meeting, come home, tune in to hear. And I suppose I should apologize to the people back at home. They can't listen to Mr. Mercer today, but it is a blessing to be here. And we want to turn to God's Word this morning, to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and we're going to read some verses beginning at the verse 5 of Luke chapter 1. We want to think a little this morning about the man called Zacharias, who is introduced to us in this passage with his wife Elizabeth, that couple who were to become the parents of John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus in his public ministry. Luke chapter 1 and reading at the verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them, and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And we'll end our reading there at verse 25, knowing that God will bless the reading of his word to your hearts this morning. Let us just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer, and let us ask that the Lord would draw near to us and speak to your hearts even through his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for the opportunity to come together to the public place of worship. We thank thee already we've been able to sing thy praise. We thank thee thou art the one who is holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. We thank thee today already we've been able to offer prayer. We thank thee now for the reading of thy word. We thank thee that thy word is truth. And we ask now as we come to the preaching of thy word, that thou wilt speak to our hearts. Speak to us personally. Speak to us individually. Speak to us as thou dost see the need of each one of our hearts. I pray that thou wilt fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. That thou wilt also speak to my heart. And speak through me today, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In this opening chapter of Luke's Gospel, we are introduced to Zacharias. and Elizabeth. This couple that were to become the parents of John the Baptist, who would of course prepare the way for the Lord Jesus beginning his public ministry. And today I want us to focus in particularly upon Zacharias. In many ways he was a godly individual. He had a God-honoring testimony. And yet, as with all of God's children, he had his failings. He had his shortcomings. And there is one particular failing and shortcoming that is focused in upon in this chapter. And of course, it is for our learning. Zacharias was a believer. There can be no doubt about that. Man who was justified in God's sight, because we read of him and his wife here in this chapter and the verse 6, that they were both righteous before God. They had their faith in the coming Savior. And of course there was that evidence of godliness in their lives. We read that they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And in many ways, this man, Zacharias, points us to the coming Savior. We think of the fact that he was a priest. In the verse 5, we read of this man that he was a certain priest named Zacharias. We read in the verses 8 and 9 of how he executed the priest's office before God. And of course we know that the priests, they pointed to and foreshadowed the one who would come as the great high priest of his people, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The one who came and offered up himself as the only sufficient sacrifice for sins forever. The one who ever lives to make intercession for us. And so from that perspective, Zacharias pointed to the coming Savior. He was a priest. He pointed to the greatest priest of all. He was also a man of prayer. In verses 9 and 10 we read of how it was part of his lot to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And when the multitude of the people were outside praying at the time of incense. There's no doubt that he was a man of prayer himself. As we will note a little later in the message in verse 13, the message that came from God to him through the angel was, "Thy prayer is heard." And again, as a man of prayer, he points us to the Savior, the one who ever lives to intercede for us. And of course, as God's people, we are called to be people of prayer. How vital prayer is to our own walk with God and to the work of God. This man, Zacharias, also points us to Christ because he was a man of praise. In this chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel and the verse 64 we read, "And his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed. And he spake and praised God." Verse 68, "In his praise he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." And again in his praise he points us to the Savior. The Savior who so soon before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he would be arrested, knowing he was heading for the cross at Calvary. And he went out with his disciples just after he had instituted the Lord's Supper. And they sang that psalm together. So again, he points us to the Savior, a man of praise. And of course, we are to be marked by praise in our lives as God's people when we consider all that the Lord has done for us. And then Zacharias also points us to the Savior because he was a man who prophesied. Here in verse 67, Of Luke chapter 1, we read that his father, that is John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. And of course, he prophesied of how this very son that had been born to him and his wife would prepare the way for the coming Savior. In that sense, he prophesied also of the coming Savior, one filled with the Spirit. Of course, he was pointing forward to the one who would come as the greatest prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He pointed to the Savior in all these ways. And of course, as God's people, we are to share the message of the Savior who has come and who has finished the great work and who is the only Savior of sinners. And so we're saying that this man, Zacharias, in so many ways was a godly individual. There was much that was commendable about his life and character as he pointed to the coming Savior. But as we've already indicated, he was but a saved sinner. He was not sinless. He had his failings and his shortcomings, as do every one of us as the Lord's people. There is one of those feelings focused in upon in this chapter for our learning. The sin of unbelief or of little faith. Not the unbelief of the Christ rejecter that will damn the soul in hell. But the unbelief. The little faith. The lack of faith that sometimes hinders us as the Lord's people. We think of how, of course, the Lord Jesus had to even rebuke his disciples at times for being of little faith, for doubting. And here in Luke chapter 1, we discover this particular sin, this particular feeling that Zacharias was affected by. And I want us to take the verse 20 for our text this morning, although we will be considering the passage as a whole. But in verse 20, the angel Gabriel, speaking to Zacharias, said this, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." I want for a few moments, first of all, to think upon the unbelief of this man, Zacharias. Here in Luke chapter 1, from the verse 11 onward, we read of the angel Gabriel having been sent by God, appearing to this man, Zacharias, as he went about his priestly ministry in the temple. And the angel had been sent by God with a great message for this man, Zacharias. We read in verse 13 of how the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." What a message that was for this man, Zacharias. A message from God. A message sent through the angel. A message that declared to him that his prayer had been heard and answered. And he and his wife were going to be the parents of a son called John. A son who, according to verse 15, would be great in the sight of the Lord. One who would be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. One who by his ministry would be used to turn many to the Lord their God. What a message. And yet in response to this message, when we come to verse 18, Zacharias asked a question of the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Zacharias knew that for this message to be fulfilled, a miracle would have to take place. Of course, we read in verse 37 of the chapter that with God, nothing shall be impossible. But the question that Zacharias asked was a question characterized by unbelief. Because the angel said in verse 20, "Thou believest not my words." And of course they were the words from God through the angel who was but the messenger. These words that would be fulfilled in their season. Now the question of Zacharias, characterized by unbelief, can be contrasted with the question of Mary in the same chapter in verse 34, which was a question characterized by faith. Because, of course, the angel had come to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would give birth to a son, the Lord Jesus. She had a question also in this passage in verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And of course, when she was given the answer in verse 38, she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And then in verse 45, she was told, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." There's a great contrast there. Mary was filled with faith. Zacharias was affected by unbelief and by little faith. And there's a number of things I want us to consider concerning the unbelief of Zacharias. Despite being an old man and a mature believer, he was affected by unbelief. He, in his life's experience and in his service for the Lord as a priest, and in his knowledge of the Word of God, surely he should have been as Stephen, of whom we read in Acts 6 and 5, he should have been a man filled with faith and with the Holy Ghost. In his ministry for God as a priest, he would have been very familiar with the Scriptures. He would have known about Abraham and Sarah and the birth of Isaac, if you want to turn back for a moment to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. And the opening two verses. Genesis 21. The verse 1 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him." And then in verse 7 we read, "And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age." Zacharias would have been so familiar with this passage of Scripture. What had happened? He would also have been familiar with what we read in Genesis 25 and the verse 21 concerning the birth of Jacob and Esau to Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis 25 and the verse 21. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." Zacharias would have been familiar with these particular happenings. And yet here in Luke chapter 1, when the angel was sent from God to him to say, "Thy prayer is heard, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son," He's affected by unbelief. He's like the two on the Emmaus Road, slow of heart to believe the message from the Lord. What's the lesson for us? It doesn't matter how long we have been saved. Doesn't matter how long we may have been enabled to serve the Lord. We too can be affected by unbelief, by little faith. We need therefore continually to pray, Lord, increase our faith. There's something else about the unbelief of Zacharias. We can say that despite the fact that he had prayed for a son, he was still affected by unbelief when he was told, well, your prayer is heard. Your wife is going to bear a son. He had prayed very specifically with his wife, no doubt for many years. And yet now, when he's told your prayer is answered, your prayer is heard, he is still affected by unbelief. It reminded me of the events, of course a different prayer, but the events that we read of in Acts chapter 12. In the early New Testament church, when Peter was in prison, when James had been put to death. And in Acts chapter 12 and the verse 5, we read these words. Acts chapter 12 and the verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. James has been put to death. Herod's purpose is eventually to put Peter to death. Peter's in prison. The church are gathered together in prayer, and they're praying without ceasing. No doubt they're praying for Peter's release, for his protection. And of course, as we read down the chapter, we read of how God answered their prayers. And he delivered Peter from the prison. And in the verse 12, Peter went to the house where God's people were gathered together in prayer. We read in verse 12 of Acts 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They're praying for Peter. They're praying very specifically. And we read that Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the damsel named Rhoda came to hearken. And she knew Peter's voice. Now she had faith. She knew he was there at the door. And of course she was so excited that she didn't let him in, and she went to tell the rest. But they were affected by unbelief. In verse 15 they said unto her, thou art mad, when she had told them, Peter's at the door. She constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, it is his angel. We can laugh as we think of the church gathered there in prayer, praying for this specific matter, and the answer comes and they're filled with unbelief. But of course, often we too are filled with unbelief. Often our faith is weak. I thought of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. And what a conversion it was. And yet when Saul was converted, God's people were affected by unbelief. In Acts chapter 9, in the verses 13 and 14, when the Lord had come to Ananias and told him to go into the street called Straight, to go to the house of Judas and inquire for one called Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord said, for behold, he prayeth. The evidence he had been converted. And he had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. How did Ananias respond? Did he say, "That's great, Lord. I'll go at once to see this man that you've converted and changed and saved"? No, Ananias answered in Acts 9 and 13, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." And those things were true, of course. That's what Saul of Tarsus had been. That's why he had been coming to Damascus. But was there not a lack of faith there? Was there not little faith there? The Lord had said, "Behold, he prayeth." And of course, the Lord, in verse 15, went on to say, "Go thy way, he has a chosen vessel unto me." And of course, Ananias did go, his faith was strengthened. And he was able to address Saul of Tarsus as brother Saul. But there was a little bit of unbelief there at first. And of course, when you move on down, Acts chapter 9 to the verse 26, when Saul had to come to Jerusalem, and he has said to join himself to the disciples, they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. There was unbelief. There was little faith. And of course, Barnabas, who was full of faith, he came along in verse 27, brought Saul to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord. Sometimes we're maybe praying for the salvation of some sinner. And maybe even in our prayers we're affected by unbelief. How could the Lord ever save such an individual? And yet, of course, the things that are impossible with man are gloriously possible with Christ. Those believers in Acts 9, I'm sure they had, if they had not prayed for the salvation of Saul of Tarsus, no doubt they had prayed the Lord would remove him from persecuting the church. And yet, when they're told that he's converted, they're affected by unbelief. Something else about the unbelief of this man, Zacharias. Despite the fact that he had received a very specific promise from God, he was affected by unbelief. Because in Luke 1 verse 13, the angel said, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son." What a promise that was. What a truth that was. In verse 19 of Luke 1, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." And of course, in verse 20, told him that these things shall be performed. A promise from God. Sent through the angel Gabriel. And despite that promise, that declaration, Zacharias was affected by unbelief. How many promises God has given to us in His Word as His people. He has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. He has promised to supply all our needs. The Savior has promised to build His church. And yet how often we are affected by unbelief. How often our faith is weak. And therefore again and again we need to pray, "Lord, increase our faith." What about you today if you're not saved? What can be said about your unbelief? Do you not believe that the Lord is able to save your soul? If you turn from your sin and trust Christ as Savior, do you not believe that if you turn from sin and trust Him that He's able to not only save you but to keep you? The Lord's Word says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you need to step out on His promise turn from your sin and by faith receive him as your Savior. I want, as we finished in the second place, just to think for a few moments about the chastening of this man, Zacharias, if this believer. Because in the verse 20 of Luke chapter 1, we look again at the message of the angel to Zacharias because of his response. In verse 20, the angel said, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Yes, Zacharias, he was a man of God. But because he was affected here by unbelief, there was going to be chastening for a time, chastening and love. He was the Lord's child. And of course, we're taught in the Word of God that God does chasten us as his people in love and for our good and for our profit. In Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 6, we read, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." In the verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, "For they," speaking of an earthly father, "verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," that is God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." And in Luke chapter 1, in the verse 20, the angel indicated to Zacharias that he would be dumb for a time because of his unbelief. He would not be able to speak until the day when these things would be performed. And that's exactly what happened. The chastening in many ways was suited to the sin of Zacharias. He had not believed the glad tidings spoken by God through the angel. And now for a time, he was not going to be able to speak forth the word of God as a priest. For that, of course, was part of his duty. He would not be able to read God's word audibly, even in the home for that period of time. He would not be able to offer audible prayer to God for that time. Of course, he could still pray, but he would not be able to pray audibly for that time. He would not audibly be able to sing praise for that same period of time. It would also seem from what we read in verse 62 that he was unable to hear for that time, because in verse 62 they had to make signs to his father how he would have him called when it came to the naming of the son that was born. What is the lesson for us? Is it not that unbelief in our hearts and lives as God's people will bring chastening? We can lose out with the Lord for a time because of unbelief and little faith. Oh, we may not be struck dumb as Zacharias was in that sense, but in other ways it may be as if we've been struck dumb. We think maybe of an individual that we have spoken to, witnessed to, sought to invite under the sound of God's word, and maybe we have spoken so many times and feel we have not had the positive response we might desire. Maybe little faith and unbelief would say, well, no point in going and speaking again. Oh yes, there are times we've got just to take the matters to the Lord in prayer, I know that. But maybe at times little faith and unbelief will keep our mouths closed when we should be speaking up for the Lord. No doubt there are other applications. But we can say that the chastening of Zacharias was tempered with mercy. Because the Lord is always merciful to us as His people. In Luke 1 and verse 20, the message of the angel was, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." He wasn't going to be dumb for the rest of his life. No, just until the day that these things would be performed. And if you come down the chapter to verses 63 and 64, this is when John had been born. And the people were saying, well, he'll be called Zacharias after the name of his father. And yet his mother in verse 60 had said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And in verse 61, they had said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And then they made the signs to his father how he would have him called. Verse 63, "And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all." Verse 64, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." And what reason? He had to praise God. His chastening was tempered with mercy. Again, in that passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that speaks about the Lord chastening us in love, we're told in Hebrews 12 verse 11, "Now no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous." There was no joyful thing for Zacharias over that period of time when he was struck dumb to not be able to speak. "No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." There's a purpose of mercy when the Lord has to chasten us. When God brought the chastening to an end, Zacharias still had the privilege of being the father of John the Baptist. God still performed the miraculous work. And Elizabeth conceived and gave birth to this son. This son who would be greatly used by God. The name John, of course, means God is gracious. God was gracious to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. The name Zacharias, it means Jehovah remembers. And the name Elizabeth means the God of the oath. God remembered his promise to Zacharias and Elizabeth despite the unbelief of Zacharias. God was gracious. God fulfilled his word. How then we too can rejoice in God's mercy. Though we fail, though often our faith is weak, God is gracious to us. He remembers his word to us. And we can pray, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Lord, increase our faith. May we learn from this man, Zacharias. May our faith be increased. And with increased faith, may we increase prayer. With increased faith, may we increase all that we can seek to do for the Lord in our walk with Him and our witness for Him. And of course, today, if you are unsaved and out of Christ, unbelieving, no faith in Christ for the salvation of your soul, may God give to you saving faith in Christ today. May you step out on the promises of God's word. May you get under the blood, repent of your sin, and receive Christ as your Savior. Let us just seek the Lord together in prayer. Ask the Lord to hide his word even in our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for thy word. We thank thee that thy word is truth. We thank thee that wherever we turn, there is a message for us. There is a word from thyself, even to our souls. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt increase our faith as thy children. We acknowledge as we consider Zacharias, that often too we are those of little faith. But we thank thee, we can ask thee to increase our faith. We thank thee above all that thou hast given to us saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee that that faith can never be extinguished. We thank thee for how the Lord Jesus could say to Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, we thank thee for our Savior who prays for us. We ask today if there be those that are still unsaved and out of Christ in this gathering. They have not saving faith. They have not that like precious faith. We pray today in thy mercy and in thy grace that thou wilt give to them repentance from sin and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So hide thy word in our heart. Speak on to us, even throughout the hours of this afternoon. Bring us back with thy blessing to thy house this evening. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for thy glory. We pray. Amen.